Now, 17 minutes to 12, time for the tracks of my years this week. Gary Brooker, the leading light of Procol Harum, chooses the tracks of his years. 88 to 91 FM, the tracks of my years, BBC Radio 2. Yes, Gary Brooker's choices, beginning this week with Bee Bumble and the Stingers.
Well, it's a great bit of piano playing in a really true rock style. And I think at the time, I was very impressed with the fact that Mr. Bumble had mixed in a classical piece and just turned it into a great rock classic. You know, the opening, I think, is from the Nutcracker Suite, which is when Nut Rocker comes from.
Yeah.
Starts off with it as Tchaikovsky wrote it, more or less, and then goes wild.
What age, roughly, would you have been when you first heard this, do you think?
Young teenage, probably.
Yeah. Young teenage, yeah. Perhaps, yeah. 14 or something.
Yeah. And did that inspire you? That make you think, this is what I want to do?
I was already, I think, probably playing piano. I was having piano lessons, had done since I was about 5. So, if you like, rock was just starting. It was just obvious that piano was part of rock. And yes, it did inspire me. I thought, well, this is what I want to do.
Right. And you did. You did. Okay. Let's jump forward right to pretty much the present and Emily Sandé with Next to Me.
Well, I wanted to have something modern to play here. This is about as modern as I get. Although I listen to everything that's on the radios, it doesn't always prick my ears up. There's a lot of stuff which seems to sound very same and overproduced, but there's something about Emily Sandé which I thought, hang on. I saw her perform on her own once, and then she comes out with this, I suppose it's like a disco dance song, but it seemed to have a great production, and I could hear everything she was singing. I like the drums on it as well.
Yeah. So this is, to you, the embodiment of good modern music.
Good modern music. This is what it sounds like, yeah. Well, I was always a great fan of George Harrison. In fact, he did ask me to come along, and I played on this one as well.
Did you play on this?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh, how did that happen?
I called at Abbey Road. You just get a phone call. Oh, George here, you know. You come around the studios.
Oh, right.
So I did.
There you are. Now we'll always know you're there.
Yeah, and it was a tremendous day because it was done live, if you like. So everybody was playing that was on it. You know, you got Ringo on drums, Badfinger were on acoustic guitars, Eric Clapton's in the corner, and we're all thrashing away. And then you walk back into the control room, and there's Phil Spector in there, and you've got this complete wall of sound. Which didn't sound anything like what we'd been doing in the studio, but it was a fantastic sound.
A great memorable moment for you as well, to be part of something like that.
Oh, yeah, it sort of continued on. I ended up playing at the concert for George as well, with his memorial, if you like, in the Albert Hall, after his death. So I was always retained the connection there.
Yeah, you were a friend.
Yeah, I'd like to call him a friend.
Absolutely. Next one is Kate Bush and Wuthering Heights.
Kate Bush, you can't say much about. It's very hard to find a track by Kate because they all seem to be off the wall. And I did record quite a few times with Kate, so I really appreciate her. I think she's one of the greatest. I mean, I'm not saying that because she's just had a resurgence, if you like, but I've always believed that she's got a huge amount of content, and I'd love to hear more on the radio even than Wuthering Heights. But when this first came out, I think late 70s, it was absolutely astounding. Well, Chuck Berry, I think, was a very important part of most people that aspired to play in bands, let's say the early 60s. Chuck Berry nailed it every time. I think he actually, I'm sure he's thought of it, but I think he's one of the greatest rock lyricist. Every track that he put out, from Roll Over Beethoven to this one, you know, it told a tremendous story in a really brilliant way. And even if you were British and had never heard of Memphis, Tennessee, or never knew what it was like to grow up by the railroad tracks playing the guitar, it took you somewhere every time. I think the story of this, with its punchline, its hook at the end, is a lovely story and slightly different from his other rock ones. It's got a marvellous sound to it, which everybody absolutely adored at the time and still does.
Great variety in his work. It doesn't always seem so at first, but when you get into it a bit more, you can hear every song's different.
Well, I mean, some, if you like, sometimes get overworked in that everybody plays Roll Over Beethoven or Sweet Little Rock and Roll or something, and then you can find tracks like this one or Jojo Gunn or something. Yeah. You know, Havana Moon, stories all over the place.
Yeah, great fella. Next, Andy Fairweather Lowe, who's, like you, a young man in a band in the 60s, and Life Ain't No Competition is the track you've gone for.
Well, I've worked with Andy a lot over the years. We've had a good rock and roll band over the last couple of decades at least, and we get together at least once a year to play just our roots music. And Andy now, although he's been accompanying many artists over the years, from Van Morrison to Roger Waters to Eric Clapton, he's been making his own solo albums. And I think on this one it's him at his best, and he's got a good groove going. He's a lovely guitar player, and vocals recognise him every time. I eventually got round to liking the Beatles.
What, you didn't start off liking them?
No, I always liked them, but there was a time, the early 60s there, where you kind of liked the Stones or you liked the Beatles. And I was a Stones man, you know, for admiring what they did. But then I had a group called the Paramounts before Procol Harum, and we had the good luck to do many tours with these people. We did a tour in 1965 with the Beatles, and we used to watch them from the wings. And they had this particular track out, Day Tripper, on that tour. And just to stand at the side, mesmerised, because if you were out front, you couldn't hear them, because everybody was screaming. But at the side, you could hear their vocals and the way they were playing. And they were good guys, although they were trapped. You know, they couldn't go out anywhere because they were so famous.
Yeah. You had more freedom. Although you were famous, you weren't at that stratospheric level.
No, I don't think so. I could go out and get some fish and chips without being harassed. I went out with John Lennon one night while we were on tour. I think it was Newcastle or somewhere. He said, come on, Gary, we'll go and get some fish and chips. So he disguised himself and we went out and we got it and then walked along the road eating it. And then when we got back to the theatre at the stage door, they wouldn't let him in. he was disguised.
It's too good a disguise.
He said, but I'm in the Beatles. And the doorman actually said, you couldn't come in here if you were John Lennon himself. And he was.
What a great story. Lovely. Your next one is Ray Charles singing What Did I Say?
I think I heard this. I went to Paris with the school and we went into a coffee bar, a jukebox, and this sound suddenly came out of it. I'd never heard anything like it at all. It absolutely wiped me out. It does to this day. From that moment on, I wanted to be Ray Charles. Yeah, as I was saying the other day, we did tour when I had the Paramounts. We toured quite a lot with, certainly with the Rolling Stones. We became friends with them early on. They liked what the Paramounts did. When they became successful, they put a lot of their old jobs that they were too big to play, put them our way. Oh, I loved them on stage. They were absolutely dynamite. But I think this one was out when we toured with them the last time. Also, I think it was one of the first ones that Mick and Keith wrote as well. Up till then, they'd been covering old R&B classics. It's great.
Yep, it's an absolute classic of itself. And finally, it's the Coasters and Searching.
I don't know what all the other rockers at the time, when you're growing up, thought, but I thought the Coasters were fantastic. I love their harmonies and vocals. There's always great backing, great written songs by Lieber and Stoller. And also, they were funny.
Yeah, yeah, it was a comedy.
Yeah, not like Benny Hill,
no.
Ernie the Milkman or something. But it was very humorous. I never actually saw them, unfortunately, but knew every one of their tracks. This one's a little story about the detectives that were popular at the time in comic books or on cartoons.
Yeah. And they were funny songs, weren't they? They were witty.
They were very witty, yeah. In fact, we worked with Lieber and Stoller with Procol Harum when we made our ninth album. We dragged them out of the woodwork. And they were fine guys, and it was an honour to work with them.
Tell me about the Procol Harum story today. What is the story? We had our wonderful BBC Radio 2 Procol Harum in concert not long ago. A terrific concert. You must have been very happy with that.
Well, happily, I waited. Boy, did I wait. But finally, the BBC Concert Orchestra asked us to come and play with them. They had a fabulous choir. Did it at the Dominion, and it all went smoothly.
Has it fired you up to do more?
Well, I think I've always been fired up. I might not look it, but but I am. And, with Procol, we enjoy touring. We enjoy playing live. And we do quite a bit of it. Not three-month tours around the world. But, you know, we do a fair amount of gigs.
Yeah, have you got any plans for recordings?
Yeah, we hope to record some new songs. We do have a record label and a contract, so that's a good start.
Terrific.
Trouble is, there aren't any record shops. But
there are ways and means.
We'll get round it.
People get the music somehow, don't they?
I like the hardware of it, you know. Vinyl's coming back, that's fine with
me,
because at least I can read the artwork that's on it.
It becomes more of an experience, doesn't it, when you've got something chunky to hold and to appreciate. It adds to the experience of the
music. Yes, and I think, of course, the quality that you have on a CD particularly, it reached its peak. MP3, you lose a lot of frequencies, and to listen, walk around with it coming out your earphones, there is another way to listen to music, and that's through great big speakers up to full volume.
That's the way ahead. Gary, it's wonderful to see you here. Many more years of making music, I hope, lie ahead of you.
I hope too. Thank you very much, Ken. Gonna find-